The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. God continues to pronounce blessings for obedience. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, notice what God continues to say. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. God says that he would make this nation and the British Empire, England at least, always the head nation, the top nation of the earth. And God has, but God has begun to strip our nation of that position because of our many sins. God was speaking to the nation of ancient Israel, our forefathers, and it is a prophecy for us today as well. Verse 14, So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I commanded you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God tells us in other places in his word that we worship the works of our own hands and that we don't know the true God. If your life isn't what you want it to be, or like you want it to be, then you should begin obeying your Maker and reap his blessings. In verse 15, God tells us that we will be living under curses if we don't obey him. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 says this, But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully. Notice that, my friends, to observe carefully, to be very cognizant of what you are doing in your life. All his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. God begins to tell us of the curses which will befall us for not obeying him. And he takes credit for bringing curses on our nation and this whole world because of our many sins. Does God have a hand in these, what we call natural catastrophes? Does he control the weather? Is he powerful enough to keep the earth from trembling and quaking? If he is, why doesn't he? Why did God, the one that claims to be love and all-powerful, holy, righteous, and true, bring the flood on the entire earth and drown all except 8 people that were in the ark? Did God have a reason for that? Did he have a reason for raining fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and turning Lot's wife into a pillar of salt? Does God have the right to bless and to curse? In Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, notice what God says about himself. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. God says he wounds and he kills, he heals and he makes alive, and he says that no one can deliver from his hand when he decides to do something. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 10, The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Could God be passing judgment on a rebellious world by allowing or even bringing what we call natural catastrophes, such as earthquakes, upset weather, and various places of the earth? Do you hear much good news about this world or in our nation today, America? Does it seem we are being cursed by all the evils that we are coping with? We should be able to put two and two together and realize that iniquity, lawlessness, is on the increase. So are problems. Some states have even legalized same-sex marriage in the Northeast, including Washington, D.C. And I ask, is God sending his blessings on these nations? Are they having good weather through January, February, March through 2010? Or is God passing judgment on this nation and the whole world? Don't rule that out, my friends. Could God be trying to wake us up, get our attention? Could he be giving us a chance to repent? That is the way that God has always worked with mankind, by giving them wake-up calls, most usually one by one. He sent 10 plagues on Egypt, one by one, giving them an opportunity to change. He struck the final blows of killing all their firstborn and drowning their army in the Red Sea. I want us to understand some history of the Bible. I've just mentioned some, but there's much more history in God's Word. In the book of Genesis, chapter 14, you can read this on your own, as we have on the Way It Ought to Be program different times. The Assyrian Empire had their opportunity to wipe Sodom and Gomorrah off the map, but they didn't. Why? Because God wasn't ready for that to happen at that time. But years later, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah himself. Why? Why did God wait and destroy them himself at a certain time? Because their iniquity, lawless deeds, had multiplied to the point that they had given themselves to sodomy. Then God passed judgment on them. The point is, God had no doubt been passing judgment on them in a lighter form, perhaps for many years, giving them a chance and a warning to put two and two together and realize they should repent of their lawless deeds. They didn't, and they paid a heavy price. Noah preached for 120 years to the pre-flood world. So did several others before Noah, but they didn't listen. They paid a heavy price. Will America listen and repent of our lawless deeds before we pay a very heavy price of more calamities, which your Bible says is coming if we don't repent and turn to God? And God says that those calamities are going to become worse and worse until he brings us to our knees, but it won't be until we are in captivity before we will wake up and repent. When God sees there is no hope for our nation repenting of our many sins, after God has given us ample warning and ample opportunity time after time and plaguing us with many curses trying to get our attention, and we still won't turn from our evils, then God will strike the final blows that he has to bring us to our knees. We will be taken captive, removed from our homeland, but what suffering we will go through by all those curses God will bring on us until we are taken captive. And then what curses we will be going through in captivity by a nation stronger than we. Now that's hard for you to believe right now, because we are still a strong nation. But God has already begun to strip America's strength, and it will continue and pick up momentum. Natural disasters, natural catastrophes will continue. Our financial situation will worsen, as well as sickness and disease will be on the increase. So will all kind of crime and violence. And I'm talking about in this land, in the United States of America, my friend. And you might as well to wake up and realize that this is going to happen if America doesn't repent. What will you do? Your life is being affected right now by the many sins which are on the increase and by the natural catastrophes God is sending, or at least is allowing to come up on us and the whole world. Will you, as an individual, turn to your Maker, or will you take your chances? You may think that you don't need God right now while things are pretty well with you and for yours. But things are changing, and they're changing fast, and you will not escape. America has seen its heyday. America has seen its heyday. I want you to hear that, my friend. We are in the end time generation, just before the return of Jesus Christ. And your Bible says a time of trouble is coming, unparalleled in human history, worse, much worse than Hitler's death camps. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, as we have brought out many times on the Way It Ought to Be program, and it bears repeating time after time, hoping that someone will listen. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Our problems will become severe even before the Great Tribulation. That means the problems of the United States and the British people, and probably other Israelitish nations. Suffering is on the increase and will pick up momentum very rapidly to bring us to that time called the Great Tribulation. And this is a prophecy aimed at end-time Israel, mainly the United States and the British people. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15, notice what God has to say. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Notice in verse 16, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. My friends, can we deny that? This is an end time prophecy as well as it was a prophecy for our forefathers, ancient Israel, before they went into captivity in the 700s BC. Is all well in our cities? How much crime? How many drugs? How many drug addicts? How about abortion? Live-ins? Murder? Rape? Adultery? Child molesters? Welfare recipients? Corruption in city governments? And corruption in our nation's government as well? Stealing? Unemployment? Alcoholics? Same-sex live-in? Divorce? Homeless people? Innocent people getting hurt and killed in traffic accidents? And by crime? How many traffic jams are people caught in today? Crime in schools, same-sex marriages in some states, which God calls an abomination, but it doesn't seem to bother us any. And we have many of these evils in the country. As a matter of fact, we have all of them in the country areas of America as well. Now, does all this sound like blessings? Not at all, my friends, but it sounds like curses to me, and I hope it sounds like curses to you, because that's exactly what they are. There is cause and effect. Most everyone is having financial problems, marital problems. Many are having child-rearing problems. Look at all the jails, the prisons, the correctional centers, mental institutions, and they are overflowing. In the fifth chapter of Jeremiah, God makes it very clear that He knows what's going on in our nation and that He will visit us for our many sins. Jeremiah penned his book 130 years after Israel, ancient Israel, had been taken captive by the Assyrian Empire. The nation of Judah was in the process of going into captivity by the Babylonian Empire as Jeremiah was penning his book and warning Judah to repent. But God makes it very clear that it is, as well, an end-time prophecy for the United States and the British people and perhaps other Israelitish nations. He also makes it very clear and plain that He, God, passes judgment on a sinful nation. God takes credit for such. He doesn't try to hide the fact that it is He who is visiting our iniquity on our own head. In Jeremiah 5, verse 11, it says this, "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Eternal." This was penned, as I said, 130 years at least after ancient Israel had gone into captivity. It is an end-time prophecy, and you need to perk up your ears and listen to it, my friends. God mentions two nations, Judah and the house of Israel. He isn't only speaking about the little nation that we call Israel in the Palestine area today. He's talking about the United States and the British people. You do know that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And Israel, or Jacob, named his name on Ephraim and Manasseh, which received the birthright blessings, and from these two grandsons of Jacob became the United States and the British people. I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. Keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program. And in the meantime, we invite you to call us for a couple of books or email us, whichever you want to do, or order them yourself. Why does mankind suffer? And what America must do to have God's protection and blessings. Now that's two booklets. Why does mankind suffer? Maybe you have wondered why there is so much suffering in this world today. Maybe you wonder why you suffer so much yourself. This booklet will give you the answer, and I've given you part of it on today's program, and will give you more if you keep listening. And the second booklet, What America Must Do Now to Have God's Protection and Blessing. And all you need do to receive those booklets, just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.